Hari Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastomavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Page 96. Shri Sukadeva Goswami continued, to keep the promise of his father intact, Lord Ramachandra immediately gave up the position of king, and accompanied by his wife, Mother Sita, wandered from one forest to another on his lotus feet, which were so delicate that they were unable to bear even the touch of Sita's palms. The Lord was also accompanied by Hanuman, or by another monkey, Sugriva, king of the monkeys, and by his own younger brother, Lord Lakshmana, both of whom gave him relief from the fatigue of wandering in the forest. Having cut off the nose and ears of Suparnakha, thus disfiguring her, the Lord was separated from Mother Sita. He therefore became angry, moving his eyebrows and thus frightening the ocean, who then allowed the Lord to construct a bridge to cross the ocean. Subsequently, the Lord entered the kingdom of Ravana to kill him, like a fire devouring a forest. May that Supreme Lord Ramachandra give us all protection. In the arena of the sacrifice performed by Vishwamitra, Lord Ramachandra, the king of Ayodhya, killed many demons, rakshasas, and uncivilized men who wandered at night in the mode of darkness. May Lord Ramachandra, who killed these demons in the presence of Lakshmana, be kind enough to give us protection. O king, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra were wonderful, like those of a baby elephant. In the assembly where Mother Sita was to choose her husband, in the midst of the heroes of this world, he broke the bow belonging to Lord Shiva. This bow was so heavy that it was carried by 300 men. But Lord Ramachandra bent, strung it, and broke it in the middle, just as a baby elephant breaks a stick of sugarcane. Thus the Lord achieved the hand of Mother Sita, who is equally as endowed with transcendental qualities of form, beauty, behavior, age, and nature. Indeed, she was the goddess of fortune who constantly rests on the chest of the Lord. While returning from Sita's home after gaining her at the assembly of competitors, Lord Ramachandra met Parasuram. Although Parasuram was very proud, having rid the earth of the royal order 21 times, he was defeated by the Lord, who appeared to be a kshatriya of the royal order, carrying out the order of his father, who was bound by a promise to his wife. Lord Ramachandra left behind his kingdom, opulence, friends, well-wishers, residence, and everything else, just as a liberated soul gives up his life, and went to the forest with Sita. Footnote 20. Srila Prabhupada writes in verse 8, Maharaj Dasarath had three wives. One of them, Kaikeyi, served him very pleasingly, and he therefore wanted to give her a benediction. Kaikeyi, however, said that she would ask for the benediction when it was necessary. At the time of the coronation of Prince Ramachandra, Kaikeyi requested her son to enthrone her son Bharata and send Ramachandra to the forest. Maharaj Dasarath, being bound by his promise, ordered Ramachandra to go to the forest, according to the dictation of his beloved. And the Lord, as an obedient son, accepted the order immediately. He left everything without hesitation, just as a liberated soul, a great yogi, gives up his life without material attraction. While wandering in the forest, where he accepted a life of hardship, carrying his invincible bow and arrows in his hand, Lord Ramachandra deformed Ravana's sister, who was polluted with lusty desires, by cutting off her nose and ears. He also killed her 14,000 Rakshasa friends, headed by Kara, Trishira, and Dushana. O King Parikit, when Ravana, who had 10 heads on his shoulders, heard about the beautiful and attractive features of Sita, his mind was agitated by lusty desires, and he went to kidnap her. To distract Lord Ramachandra from his ashram, Ravana sent Maricha in the form of a golden deer. And when Lord Ramachandra saw that wonderful deer, he left his residence and followed it and finally killed it with a sharp arrow, just as Lord Shiva killed Daksha. When Ramachandra entered the forest and Lakshman was also absent, the worst of the Rakshasas, Ravana, kidnapped Sita Devi, the daughter of the king of Videha, just as the tiger seizes unprotected sheep when the shepherd is absent. When Lord Ramachandra wandered in the forest with his brother Lakshmana, as if very much distressed due to the separation of his wife. Thus he showed by his personal example the condition of a person attached to women. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 11. In this verse, the words Sri Sanginam Gatim Iti indicate that the condition of a person attached to women was shown by the Lord himself. According to moral instructions, Grihe Narim Vivar Jayet, when one goes on a tour, one should not bring his wife. Formerly, men used to travel without conveyances. But still, as far as possible, when one leaves home, one should not take his wife with him, especially if one is in such a condition as Lord Ramachandra, when banished by the order of his father. Whether in the forest or at home, if one is attached to women, this attachment is always troublesome, as shown by the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his personal example. Of course, this is the material side of Sri Sanghi, but the situation of Lord Ramachandra is spiritual, for he does not belong to the material world. Narayana paro vyaktat. Narayana is beyond the material creation. Because he is the creator of the material world, he is not subject to the conditions of the material world. The separation of Lord Ramachandra from Sita is spiritually understood as Vipralamba, which is an activity of the Hladini potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, belonging to the Sringara Rasa, the mellow of conjugal love in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has all the dealings of love, displaying the symptoms called sattvika, sanchari, vilapa, murcha, and unmada. Thus, when Lord Ramachandra was separated from Sita, all these spiritual symptoms were manifested. Right? So this element of separation, this gives the highest taste. So we see that we always hear about it in, you know, the residents of Vrindavan and in the Karakiya Rasa. But we see here is that even in the Swakiya, then Lord Ramachandra is tasting this. Right? So then from both these sides, he's tasting these aspects of separation. Because otherwise, can Ravana steal Sita from Ram? Right? No. But it's there for the purpose of being able to taste that rasa. So he's tasting, she's tasting like this. So because the intensity in the Parakya on this platform of where you're following with rules and regulations, right, the Vaikuntha Ras, then therefore there's longer term. While with the gopis, then every moment's like 12 years or more, so even just, you know, a short time, it is very, very long. Then it switches back the other way, then back and forth like this. But this, then, for a long time, they can, because everything's more regulated. Mm-hmm. Okay? But we see is all the different aspects, sattvika sanchari, and then these other aspects are all coming into place. Right? Yeah? Yes?
So how important is for us the Ram Lila actually?
Means it's something that we hear, but it's not, we wouldn't necessarily focus on that and not the Krishna book. You know, just Mahabharata we hear, we know, but it's not that we would focus there. So Bhagavatam is our main focus. But it's not that we don't know all these things and all that. Like, just like the gopis, they know all these stories also. Yeah. Right? So they're standard stories because they're about the Lord and we're happy to hear, but we wouldn't overly focus on them. Does that make sense? But we have no problem hearing them. Because the point is rasa is one thing. Then there's detail within it. You know, it's just like good food is one thing. Then there's details of, you know, the specific tastes. Yes. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ramachandra is considered Vaikuntha Bhava?
Anything below Braj is Vaikuntha.
And the second thing, who considers...
You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying Vaikuntha, you have Vaikuntha itself. Then above that you'll have Ayodhya. Above that you have Dwarka. Above that you have Mathura. Or sometimes they put it the other way around. Dwarka is higher than Mathura. Depends on which aspect you're looking at.
Mm-hmm. Right. And is Vaishnava Sampradaya, some of them consider Lord Ramachandra as the main?
Yes. No, there's devotees. I'm not sure what sampradayas would focus, but it would be branches of the sampradaya. It wouldn't be the whole sampradaya. But any sampradaya, there may be a focus more on, like you see within the...
Shri sampradaya also focuses a lot.
Yeah, no, they may be in Vishnu, they may be Ramachandra, they may be Krishna and Dwarka. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you see a lot of Ram Didis and the Shringa, any, because the point is any of the Vaikuntha moods, they'll be there, but it's not that the Sampradaya is committed to that, like that. So what line, I'm not sure all the Babas in Ayodhya are, I really don't know, but once, I think we were there. We I think it was during the Kumbh Mela, and then we went out. Was it that? Yeah, something. We went out because from Kumbh Mela, then Varanasi, Ayodhya, is not so far away. So we went to visit, and then we were at Peshad, and the whole place is full of Ram Babas, right? You know, they're always big, and they're big, strong,
healthy.
You know? Yeah, very healthy, you know, and. And so that we're there. I think it's only two of us, you know, like that. So then, jokingly they says, okay, you know, just before Prashad, okay, now you say, you know, Krishna ki jai. You know, so we say Krishna ki jai. And he says, now we'll say. And then Ram ki jai. There's so many of us, so loud. And then they go, looks like Ramachandra wins. Like that, you know, so it's... So that's just flavor, because the point is we're worshiping Krishna, but it's the flavor in which is being worshipped. That's the specific taste. So Vaishnavas are of one understanding, but by taste then there's a difference. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And why would Prabhupada install in Mumbai Ramachandra? That was specific.
Because Mumbai, because there's a lot of Ramachandra people there. But it's very popular, yes.
In D.C. also, because of the political center of the U.S.
Oh, okay.
He specifically installed.
Oh, okay. Ramachandra there. Yeah, no, it's interesting.
Just Potomac, D.C.
Okay. Potomac. Just this side, right? Because the other side of the hill, that was the south. You know?
The hill. The hill? I'm thinking the river.
Yeah, maybe just you cross, you can see. Yeah. That's where, you know, they say. I think Robert E. Lee, he had his place over that side. Yeah. Yeah, so it's there. Yeah, so maybe just according to the place. When we were in Hong Kong, he said they should install, the deity there should be Sat Bhuj. Yeah. I'm not sure. We had a picture on the altar of Sat Bhuj. Small. And Prabhupada says the deity here should be Sat Bhuj.
Because they're so busy there.
Sorry?
They're so busy in material.
Yeah, so many hands. You know, maybe they could relate more or something. Yeah. Yeah, or sometimes you see deities in south of Krishna with Rukmini and Satyabhama. He has a flute, but he has four hands. Yeah. You know, so things like that. You have all kinds of far out. Okay. The Lord is neither impersonal nor impotent. Rather, he is Satchitananda Vigraha, Brahma Samhita 5.1. the eternal form of knowledge and bliss. Thus he has all the symptoms of spiritual bliss. So all these transcendental symptoms will be there in the Lord because he is rasa. Right? It all comes from him. And then the devotees connecting to him, they can taste this. Right? So the Lord always tastes ananda, but it'll just be that kind of, how you say, basically not really the variety. It's just one, it's just that existing in ananda. But then when the devotees expand, then that taste becomes specific, and then that takes it to a much higher level. Yes.
The Lord always tasting the fullness in every pastime, or is it that he just manifests in different areas in each pastime?
It depends on the pastime, who's there. When you're dealing with the Paravasta, then that's the full potency of the Supreme Lord, so they will be tasting in the fullest. And others, then, they're only manifesting a certain portion of Krishna. That's why it says portion of a plenary portion. Right? So the point is they're full, but being swamsa, they only have to manifest a certain amount of personality. Not that they couldn't do more. It is Krishna, but because he takes on that much in that environment with those situations and devotees, therefore he takes on that form that'll match. So it's not that it's different. It's not that Ramachandra and Krishna are different. They're the same person. But to taste swakya bhava like this, then he comes as Ramachandra. Does that make sense? Because like in Dwarka, yeah. Different flavor right there. Because in Ramachandra, then only Sita Devi's there. And then, you know, then he's separated from her. Does that make sense? Because otherwise in Dwarka, if one queen, you know, went away, there's still 16,107 queens left. You know, so you know, even 10-20 go away. You know what I'm saying? So this is the perfect place to taste that. So he takes that form, he takes, therefore, that environment, those associates, those activities. Feeling separation from one's beloved is also an item of spiritual bliss. As explained by Srila Sarupa Damodara Goswami, Radha Krishna, Pranaya, Vikritir, Ladini, Shaktihi. The dealings of love between Radha and Krishna are displayed as the pleasure potency of the Lord. The Lord is the original source of all pleasure, the reservoir of all pleasure. Lord Ramachandra therefore manifested the truth both spiritually and materially. Materially, those who are attached to women suffer, but spiritually, when there are feelings of separation between the Lord and his pleasure potency, the spiritual bliss of the Lord increases. So there's that intensity is there. The difference is in the spiritual world, then the Lord gains happiness from it. While in the material world, it only gives misery. That's the difference. The intensity is there, but it doesn't actually give happiness. That's the difficulty. But at the same time, without it, then other things that we call happiness in the world also don't have any meaning, right? So it's still the same formula, is that being together is nourished by being apart, right? And being together then nourishes being apart, right? Because if you're not together, then what's the meaning of, being separated? And if you're not separated, then what's the meaning of being together? So the formulas are the same, just what is tasted is not the same. So mechanically, you'll end up with the same. So there won't be a difference. So. This is further explained in Bhagavad Gita 9.11. One who does not know the spiritual potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead thinks of the Lord as an ordinary human being. But the Lord's mind, intelligence, and senses can never be affected by material conditions. See, he's never looking at anything that it's about enjoyment. right, means that the senses contacting the sense objects are enjoyment. It's a matter of relationship, and that interaction based on that affection, that's happiness. It's expressed through the senses, right? Does that make sense? Just like there's always that aspect, there's the primary and the secondary. The primary, let's say, for example, Mother Yashoda, is her love for Krishna. The secondary will be she cooks for Krishna, or bathes Krishna, or arranges, you know, his clothes and ornaments for Krishna. That's secondary, so she expresses the love through the secondary. So the secondary will always be connected with the senses, because that's how we know the world. Right? We say the world around us, but we only know that world through the senses. There isn't another way to know it. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, therefore is that the idea that he's interested in sense gratification just doesn't exist. He's interested in that affection. It may be shown through the senses. We've made the mistake that the senses contacting the sense object is the real deal. Right? So then we've been transferred here to the material world where we can try that. And it looks like, no, but people are engaged in so many things, but what's it for? Right? It means economics is to get facility to engage the senses. Or let's say we take higher things, there's freedoms and liberties and fraternities and, you know, even, I guess, sororities. You know, all these different things are there, right? So all those need to be brought together. But for the point of what? Unless the senses are engaged, what's the meaning? So it all comes back down to the senses. And if the sense contacts a sense object, you know, in an environment that I would consider good, then I will say that's happiness. So, yes?
So it seems to be that we experience secondary rasa through secondary process.
Yes.
So how can we, you know, feel a vigya? Because it's two things that we should do simultaneously, basically.
Basically, we just have to, all we have to do is actually change our focus to the primary, and then everything else will be taken care of. So we don't have to mechanically make the senses work in this spiritual way. We connect to Krishna, they're already working that way. So technically, we only have to do one thing. But if we're juggling that, you know, intellectually, you know, be getting used to it, then yes, then I have to look at the philosophy, then I have to see when the senses, and apply that philosophy. But basically, it's just understanding when it's Krishna, then the senses are connected to Krishna. And it's Krishna that's wonderful. Like, the prasad's nice because it's Krishna. That's what it says. What was it? We always think Sarira Vijajal. I think there's, how many of those? There's like five or six of those. Like that. In Prasad Seva, there's five, six prayers. So we basically only say the first. I've seen in the Gaudiya Mathas, they'll say the first and sometimes the second. I haven't heard beyond that. Then the second one's about Lord Chaitanya eating spinach. Right? And so then having been offered the spinach and the devotees are tasting. Oh no, means Lord Chaitanya is eating this spinach with the devotees. They're all sitting down, they have the rice and spinach. And Lord Chaitanya is saying, this spinach tastes so nice because Krishna has tasted it. Krishna Ashwadilo. Yeah, because Krishna, he tasted it. So that's the thing, when we taste prasad, we think it's, oh, you know, I like the cauliflower, I like the paneer, I like this or that, or there's enough chili, or there's not too much chili, or like I remember, you know, hearing people take the sweet, and oh, very mild, not so much sugar. I'm thinking, but it's sweet, it's supposed to be sweet, you know, that, whatever, you know, so that, you know, for them it's nice, it's not sweet. Oh, here's a sweet that's not sweet, you know, oh, here's salty stuff that's not salty, you know, so kind of like, okay, you know, so the point is we're thinking it's that form, but actually it's because Krishna tasted it, that's why it's nice, because you can have the same prep, but Krishna doesn't taste it, it doesn't taste good, like that, that's the whole thing. if Krishna has tasted it. That's what's that. So when we start seeing that, that's what was meant by, who are we talking about? There was, remember a few, just some verses back, then there was the discussion about how the pure devotee doesn't actually see the material world. The senses perceive something, but he perceives Krishna there. He doesn't actually, he's not looking at the what the sense is perceiving. It's actually what is behind that sense that he's perceiving.
Was it Ambarish?
I think so. Yeah, I think it was Ambarish.
So many kings.
Sorry?
Somebody, for sure.
There was somebody. Somebody previous to this, but within the last, you know, some days. With definitely within the ninth, and after Vamanadeva and before this. So that's the position, is that there's, it's not that they don't see what you see, but they see more than what you see, and what they see that's more, that's more important. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So they're not really worried about what's being seen. It's not that they can't see, so that's why they don't, like as we said, Sukadeva Goswami doesn't bump into things. You know, it's not like the tree is there and the tree-ness is Krishna, and so then he runs into the tree. No. The whole point is you can see, but it's that you're seeing what's beyond it. That's why he says that the pure devotees don't really see the material world. They see Krishna. Because he's in everything. It's another level. Right, you take this and take out the personal aspect, then you end up with the impersonal. Right, but this is no, because the impersonal, then you remember the personal. Does that make sense? Yes.
Since our experience, since time immemorial, is all about secondary.
Yes.
So how can we change to primary with Krishna, because we never had this primary with Krishna, so it's very complex.
Yes, but it's natural. That's the dynamic aspect. It's natural that the soul has that relationship, because it's natural for the soul to think my happiness is coming from somewhere else. You know, just like this, we think I'm happy because of nice food or nice environment or nice association or something, because we always understand it's coming from somewhere else.
Yeah.
So the point is if you just keep that going, then there has to be a source of all this happiness. Right? That's coming from the Supreme. So it's very natural to do. We're just not used to natural. Right? Because the modern natural, it's about the senses or it's about economics. Because if I eat natural, it's better for health. It's not that they actually care about Krishna's energy. You know, that it should be in its state as established by the Supreme Lord. Probably as soon as you put that one out, everyone in the room will get up and leave. You know, all those natural, you know, bodies like that. So it's only natural because it's better for the senses. Oh, taste this lettuce, you can taste it, you know, like this. It's just, that's the thing. It's not really about these higher. It's just they want sense gratification in a natural form. Someone else couldn't care less. Like I remember one devotee once, okay, who says was eating a, what do you call it? An ice cream sandwich, you know those?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was eating it, and he looked at me with this smile, and he says, "You know why this tastes so good?" I says, "I don't know." And he says, because there's not one natural ingredient in it. Everything's designed just for taste. Couldn't disagree. Like that, you know. So.
Whereas there used to be a billboard advertising that juice here, guaranteed nothing natural.
Yes. Very, very important. Yeah, I always found that. No fruit. Okay. Yes. So in other words, it's not about that. We're actually looking for the primary, but we're mistaking that as the secondary is producing it. So all it is that natural tendency to look for that higher, just go with that. So if we try it, we'll see it works, because we're connecting to Krishna. So Krishna's in the heart, then he takes shelter of him, then the one starts to get that understanding. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he's there, so if you take shelter of him, then you forget the other. You know, so even if it's just a moment, one moment, then has an effect, because that's the point. A moment of reality then is greater than, you know, an unlimited ocean of, you know, ignorance or illusion. But since we're conditioned, we're not used to it, then we just, that's why it's sadhana. It's considered a gradual process. Then step by step we go through. Because otherwise, if we get that moment, we taste it, and we see this is greater, and we surrender to that, then the process is immediate. That's how they go from Shraddha to Prema immediately. You know, like Maharaj Katvang, they just move through so quickly. Right? But for us, then if that didn't happen in that moment, then it's step by step. So we keep trying to expose ourselves to those moments. You know, so that's why it's an illusion to think that, no, it's all these secondary, that's what's going to make. Right? You use the secondary, because if they help, nice. You know, just like in the yoga studio, they play all that funny A-wave music and, you know, nice, pleasant colors, but not too colorful, you know, open, but not too open. It's not bare, it's warm and pleasant, but not too, you know, they just try to find that pleasant yogic medium, right? And then that's why people go to their studio, because the place where you have to have the studio has to be where people can get to the studio, because they're going to work and all that. That means it's an expensive part of town. That means the rent is very high. That means you have to have lots of people come, right? And they have to be wealthy, right? You know, at least decent money. So, no?
That's why all the Chinese, they do their own exercise outside.
In the park, yeah, it's free. Remember in Hong Kong, we would go out for Japa walk in the park, and you'd see these, you know, like old ladies inside the bushes, you know, sitting there going, you know, yeah, okay. Yeah, no one was on the path. They were always out in the grass. And, yeah, that's true. It's free. Yeah, why should you pay? Yeah, you know, that's how you say these. I'm not sure what they call them, but what the Chinese name for whiteies are. Somehow everybody has a name for whiteies. You know, like
that. Yeah. Something really big knowledge.
Huh?
The
wrong
man
is
big
knowledge. Oh, in Chinese.
For
okay. Chinese. Okay. Yeah, because the first ones that came over, they were like the Spaniards. You know, that. So we just make that mistake. Is that, in other words, when you find something that's you really like, and no, then at that point you'll think it's the thing, but then just stop for a moment and think, oh, it's actually Krishna, and then by His grace you'll be able to make that connection. So the point is that connection only happens because of His grace. It won't happen because of the secondary arrangements. Right. So it's not that, oh, if you arrange it like this, then they'll get a spiritual. No, you arrange it in a particular way, then they'll pay attention. Right? Then they're open to the experience. But the experience itself is coming only because of devotion to the Lord.
But, so would it be correct in saying that this is why, because we're so habituated to the secondary, this is why culture is so important?
Yes, well, culture is important because of that. But even in the spiritual world, as we said, how do you express the primary except through the secondary? That's the whole point. The primary is only manifest through the secondary, and the secondary has no meaning if it's not connected to the primary. So they go together. But there's a difference. You have to be able to understand the difference. Spiritual world, you don't need to understand the difference because you'll never use anything improperly anyway. But here, unless you understand the difference, then the chances is we're always going to make a mistake. We're going to think it must, if it's nice, it must be spiritual. Like that. When it's not because it's nice, it's spiritual. Because it's spiritual, it's spiritual. Right? You know? How you say? Quoting from a popular advertisement. If it's not spiritual, it's not spiritual. Okay. So we're getting close, but not close enough. But. Okay, this fact is further explained in the Skanda Purana as quoted by Madhvacharya. It was actually impossible for Ravana to take away Sita. The form of Sita taken by Ravana was an illusory representation of Mother Sita, Maya Sita. When Sita was tested in the fire, this Maya Sita was burnt, and the real Sita came out of the fire. Like that. So as we mentioned, it's just for his pastime. It's not that Ravana could take, but it shows, one, he tastes all these nice rasa, because it's through secondary that you taste. But the point is it's not because of the mundane. He only interacts with his internal potency. But at the same time energy is energy. Just like I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, no, Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, rasa is rasa. It's not that it's a different, well, you'll say, oh, there's spiritual rasa, the material rasa is two different things. No, it's one thing, it's two different tastes. So you're tasting rasa connected to Krishna, that's Vaikuntha rasa. You taste it connected to, you know, emotions and duties and relationships, then that's Swargiya rasa. You taste it connected to the senses, that's Partiva rasa. But the same point of there being the Ashray, Vishay, and all this kind of thing, and what's the Udipan, that's all the same. The mechanics are exactly the same. So that's the thing is, when it is Krishna is who's pleasing, Krishna is the Vishaya, and then the Udipans are connected with Krishna, then that's Vaikuntha rasa. Right? When the Vishaya is someone else, right? Then, and I say, and then the particular Udipans in that relationship with them are, you know, that makes the Swargiya. Right? And then on the, so the sensual platform, this is where it gets really funny, is that the Vishaya is the dead matter, and the Ashraya is our senses. We'll go, how is that possible? But the point is the Rasgula is a Rasgula. But because we taste it, then we are able to draw from it the sweetness. But if you look at it, then you'll appreciate its roundness. If you touch it, you'll appreciate its, or maybe not appreciate, but its stickiness. So it's, you know, and if it's Calcutta, then a little sponginess. And if it's local, then more solidness. Does that make sense? So that's the funny part, is it switches, because we think, no, I'm the Vishaya, but that's the fun part, is we're not. The dead matter is the Vishaya, we're the Ashraya. So that's why it says we're always servant. Always servant. This idea is, no, I'll be master, he's still servant.
So for us, Raganuga Sadhana is the primary, and the secondary is Vaidhi.
Yes.
But it seems that, you know, can't really cross that part.
By practicing the sadhana, I mean, in other words, we're practicing the sadhana, but then we know why we're doing it and see its connection to Krishna and how it's pleasing to Krishna. In other words, we're going to Mangal Artik not just because it's some sages, you know, how you say, bad joke on us to get us out of bed when we'd really like to be sleeping, but that it's going to see the Lord. In other words, if the Lord's so important, the Lord's taken rest, this is the first time that you can see Him. So then naturally the devotees are there. Just like in Vrindavan, all the birds and animals that follow Krishna from the forest up to Braj, then when he goes into Vrindavan, when he goes into Nandagaon, they all stay in those trees just outside. So that first thing in the morning when he comes out, they can see him immediately and then go back with him to the forest. Does that make sense? So that's actually the position. And who sees him at the time when we see? Right? In other words, we means the gopis are the ones that see when Krishna first wakes up, when he actually first wakes up. Mother Jashoda sees him when he second wakes up. Right? So in other words, we get the time when the gopis are seeing, and the Hindus at the second time. You know, when they have their Mangal Artik at, you know, 6 in the morning, right? You know, so if we look at what it is, then we understand It's not because Krishna wants to see the devotees. Devotees want to see him. Then that starts to give a different taste. If we have that, then slowly, slowly that will develop. Because the idea is, rag means you like doing it. You're not doing it because the rule says you should do it. You're doing it because you like to do it. Right? But we only call it rag when that's prominent. You know, just like we said, brahmachari is a bucket of halava. There is spontaneous devotional service happening there. But it only happens connected with that bucket of halava or a bucket of paneer sabji. Right? And specifically, I mean, any time of the day, but it really gets to be, you know, intense rag if it's like at 6:30 in the morning, right? You know? So you know, especially in winter, right? You know, it just gets better and better, you know. So it's only for that, so we can't call it rag. That aspect is, but we won't call that they're situated on rag because it's only a small portion of the day.
They can argue.
Huh? These, yes, of course they could come up with some serious points there.
Small portion of the day.
A small portion. No, but how much can you actually eat? It means planning all the other things. Yes.
Is the rag. The
sorry.
Rag is anticipation. So the eating.
Okay. What about when they're asleep at night? Unless they're dreaming about it.
Okay.
It means if they're on that platform, then yes, we will say they're on the platform of rag. If they are, then yes, we'll have to hand it to them. We'll have to agree.
Depends on the age. If they become older, probably not.
Yeah, yeah. Especially when they have problems with digestion and stuff like that.
Teenagers.
Yeah, definitely. But that's the thing, is then there's an arc. It should keep going. So because it goes up and comes down, then we won't consider it that it's actually on that. You know, just like the those who get liberation, but then they'll come back, so we don't actually consider them. So say there's liberation and real liberation. So we could say this is rag, and then there's real rag. But if it just keeps going, then yes, definitely. Yes.
So even for angas of bhakti, we have, like you mentioned, like you like to practice those.
Yes.
Some of them. Some, it's okay, but it's not spontaneous.
Yes.
But then we can see it's according to our own condition. So when can we call it rag as such?
Because our interest in it may be that is easier for us to do, and so we'll focus there, and then we're getting results. We're getting results because of that connection with Krishna. So the actual taste and that interest is actually in Krishna consciousness. It's coming from Krishna. So it's not by the conditioning. Conditioning, it we're just going by something to catch the attention. But it's not that creates it. Because otherwise, if we say, no, but if we dress like this or do food like this or all these different things, then that will make them Krishna conscious. Then we're saying karma generates bhakti. But it's actually not only bhakti. The point is that, okay, you make this situation, then they're willing to take up devotional service. But once taking it up and they get the taste, then they'll move beyond that conditioning. So that's why we will take it into the environments that they're in. But once they get the taste, then they'll give up that attachment to that environment and take it up in its natural state. That's why it's considered a very neophyte thing, that you would be more focused on their conditioning than on the standards or tradition. But once they get that interest, then we naturally would come across, because you're sharing this with Krishna, and the spiritual culture is Krishna's culture. So we're attached to our culture due to conditioning, then that will naturally just disappear. Or if it's something that's useful or it's okay, then that will remain. Like someone likes to dress properly, so then that will continue. But what they're dressing in, that will start to change. You know, like that. But if we say no, it should just be in this secondary form, then that is a neophyte philosophy, and we can't compare it to pure devotional service, and we can't say that this will give perfection. It should be understood where it stands, right? So it is appropriate, but appropriate for what? You know. Like little kids, you know, they do all kinds of things that adults won't do. But as kids, it's appropriate because they're kids. But if we say, no, the kid can do that, that's natural for him, therefore he should be able to do that his whole life, then there's something wrong. You know, there's some how you say? Some, what do you say, sociopathic problem here. Is that okay? A little bit.
I want to come back to Partiva, Rasa, Svargiya, Rasa. Can we say that Partiva would be Anamoy and Pranamoy?
No, it's just engaging the senses.
No, we can't.
I mean, on one sense you can. You, on one sense, then you'll say is anamoy is partiva rasa, manamoy is swargiya rasa, and anandamoya is vaikunta rasa. Because those are situations of rasa. That's why being situated on pranamoy and being situated in vijnanamoy, those don't really give any taste. That's why people situated on those really have problems. Like that. Yeah, it means they'll drop. Means the ones on Vijnanamoya, they'll drop back to Manamoya at best. You know, and those on Pranamoya, they'll drop back to Anamoya. They never move forward because they don't know this existence. That's the point. So all they've done is taken the one and extended it. But you know, it's like throwing a ball up in the air. It doesn't stay. You know, so that's why we talk so strongly about the modern culture, because it's situated in pranamoy. Its foundation is sense gratification, but it's presented as if it's something very, you know, special and spiritual and fabulous, when it doesn't even have any taste. People on that platform don't taste anything. You know, there's a few moments of, you know, intellectual, but it doesn't have any substance. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like you have a relationship with someone. Let's say husband and wife, okay? Then the man, they have a relationship. So let's say the man is away at war, okay? Something like that. He can still, that relationship is still there. That taste is still there. Just by, remember, on the mental platform. But now what got him out there is that sense, yeah, national and that, you know, fight for our country. And there's a feeling there for a moment. But then when he's out there on the battlefield, then probably the only thing left is, you know, thinking of his wife. You know, he's not thinking for my country and, you know, stuff like that. Yeah?
Second thing is that when we say the Ramana kidnapped the illusory Sita, sometimes it's, this analogy is given to the holy names, that when we chant and then we're not having this love for Krishna, then we're chanting like not actual names, but we're just pronouncing syllables.
Means we're getting, that's all the effect we're getting. The point is the name is Krishna directly. Because otherwise, if we say it's by my chanting, it's Krishna or not, then that means I'm in control of Krishna. If I chant purely, then he's there, and I don't chant, he's not there. It's technically Buddhism. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? So, but the point is what effect you'll get. It's not, because if I'm just chanting syllables, then where's the offense? If it's just syllables, then what does it matter if I pay attention or not? It's because it is Krishna and you're only chanting syllables. That's why it's an offense. Right? You understand? So you have to see as both things at once. It means practically you're just chanting syllables. But the reason that's a problem, because it is Krishna. Can't say it's not Krishna. It is Krishna. Otherwise, why did Ajamil get saved? Right? Oh. You could say Ajamil's been saved. Yes. No? Okay. A further understanding to be derived from this example is that a woman, however powerful she may be in the material world, must be given protection. For as soon as she is unprotected, she will be exploited by rakshasas like Ravana. Right? Because the feminine nature, the feminine form is, you could say, the whole facilities of the material creation all in one place. So that's the whole reason that there's so much focus on women, and that's why here it always talks about women. Except this guy, he talks about himself. But, other than that. Yes. Nice. I think now he's made his announcement. Oh, he's going by. Thought he announced his presence, now he's going to come in and try his luck. But, okay, so that's the whole reason that it's always pointed out, because in different things you have different senses that are involved. But when you're dealing with women, all five senses are involved, right? And so that's the aspect. No matter where you are in the creation, something can be appreciated. You know what I'm saying? So other things that you have, those might be appreciated in a certain situation. But in all situations, you can't. Does that make sense? So that's why this point is here. No matter how powerful or anything like that, there's still the aspect that people will try to exploit. Yeah, so the Vedic is that since people are going to exploit, then therefore you create an environment in which it's not possible to exploit. That's something you can do. You have some control over that, because you can't say no one will be interested. You can say is that even if they are interested, then there's no availability. But this modern approach where no, total availability, but no one should be interested, that's like total mode of ignorance. That's just everything is upside down. That's like expecting the impossible, right? You know, you're expecting men to absolutely not behave as men so that the women can, in their mind, behave totally as women. But basically, you're asking men to absolutely behave not like men because women don't behave like women. You know, then it has some meaning. But it's not a good approach. So Prabhupada's pointing out here, therefore, there's always the environment. That's that. So unless they protect themselves, then men can't make an arrangement. So, yeah. Okay. For as soon as she is unprotected, she will be exploited by rakshasas like Ravana. Here the words Vaideha Raja Duhitari indicate that before Mother Sita was married to Lord Ramachandra, she was protected by her father, Vaideha Raja. And then she was married, she was protected by her husband. Therefore, the conclusion is that a woman should always be protected. According to the Vedic rule, there is no scope for a woman's being independent. Asamaksham. For a woman cannot protect herself independently. Right? But it's a cooperation. If she wants to be protected, then she can be protected. If she doesn't, then no one can protect her. Srila Jiva Goswami comments on verse 11 in Priti Sandarbha Anucheda 143. Lord Ramachandra showed by his personal example the condition of a person attached to woman. These words mean, he showed by his personal example the condition of a person attached to woman. It is also said in that chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam 9.10.55. Mother Sita was very submissive, faithful, shy, and chaste, always understanding the attitude of her husband. Thus, by her character and her love and service, she completely attracted the mind of the Lord. Right? It is said in the following chapter, chapter 11 of Srimad Bhagavatam, 9.11.16. After hearing the news of Mother Sita's entering the earth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was certainly aggrieved. Although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, upon remembering the exalted qualities of Mother Sita, he could not check his grief in transcendental love. Right? The exalted qualities, because they're all about the Lord. All of the qualities she's manifested are all in connection with the Lord. Therefore, how she is connected to him, he's connected to her. Therefore, when she leaves, then that again that aspect of separation. Right? So that's the thing, is these qualities, these are what makes the relationship stronger. So if she's performing these activities, then the control of the senses, the sensitivity, all these things, then those are the natural way that the man tries to deal with the woman. then the relationship becomes strong. So on the transcendental platform, it works out, we can see here very nicely. We take part in that. On the material platform, it will make things function nicely, but if we think that that's what's going to make us happy, we become entangled. If we understand, though, this is just the proper way of dealing, then we engage that in the Lord's service, relationships go very nicely, and then we become Krishna conscious. You understand? The truth is that Lord Ramachandra was actually controlled by Mother Sita's pure spiritual love and devotion. However, he externally acted in a way a lusty conditioned soul acts. He acted in that way to teach renunciation to the people in general. The need for renunciation is described in the next verse of Srimad Bhagavatam 9:11-17. The attraction between man and woman, or male and female, always exists everywhere. Right, so especially nowadays, you know, man or woman, male or female, you have to throw it in because, you know, who's going to, yeah. Making everyone always fearful. Such feelings are present even among the controllers like Brahma and Lord Shiva, and is the cause of fear for them. What to speak of others who are attached to householder life in this material world? So fear is coming out of this, because when there's attachment, there's fear. What is that? What's the connection? Because if you lose something, you're fearful of loss. But if there's no attachment, then where's the loss? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why Lord Shiva is being thrown into this?
Because there is that aspect where he does function in this way. Though it is his wife, it is his energy, but still he's functioning in that way. So it shows the same. He also, you know, ends up in with problems for the same thing. You know, it's like that whole story of Ganesh. You know, it's like, you know. Yeah. So, these kind of things. Thus, Lord Ramachandra's pastimes have two purposes. One, to show his love to his devotees, and two, to teach the people in general the path of renunciation. Right? So we have to give up attachment to the material and develop that attachment to the spiritual. So it's not about renunciation as a goal. See, when we talk about, you know, the impersonalists, the Mayavadis, the Jnanis, all these things in a negative way, what we're talking about is that they take that as a goal. You know, just like, let's say, you know, the devotee says, I have to, you know, renounce, or I have to, you know, control my senses. Right? You know, okay, this Sunday program, I got to really control my senses and this and that. So, on one sense, as the path of religion, of renunciation, then it's a nice thing. It's pious. But the whole point is who actually can control the senses? Who actually can, and how will you actually control? By getting a higher taste. Who can give that higher taste? It's only Krishna. So it's actually, this Sunday I would like to please Krishna by honoring prasad properly rather than going totally insane. Does that make sense? So it's a different approach. Right? So we're taking it, no, it's a goal. But actually, no, it's just a process. In fact, it's just qualities you use in a process. Does that make sense? Because you have knowledge and skills, but you also have the proper qualities and attitude. All that combined, then you apply that, then you get avideya. That gets you results. But the point is you're trying to please Krishna. Then it will give some specific results, but those results are for Krishna. So we're doing it to please Krishna, and the results we get are to please Krishna. Right? So we see sannyas means both of those are together. I'm doing it to please Krishna, and the results are for Krishna. Renunciation means I'm doing it to please myself. The results are for Krishna. You see the difference? So these go together, because you're always going to get both of these things at once, right? As we mentioned, from Pajumna, you're going to get the experiential in the Abhideya and in the Prayojana, and from Sankarshan, then you're going to get the mechanical, the physical of that in Abhideya and Prayojana. Does that make sense? So that's why Sambandha has those two aspects.
The Pajumna and its results are primary?
It means yes. means either it means it's primary within the spirit, but it's also primary within here. It's just like the businessman with the proper attitude, he makes profit. And the one without the proper attitude doesn't. So, yes, he sees the primary within the secondary. So it's just a matter of, are you seeing the primary, you know, within the primary, or are you seeing the secondary within the secondary? You know. Or better, the primary within the secondary, or are you seeing the primary within the primary? If you see the primary in the primary, then the secondary in the primary, you understand its position. Yeah. So basically, if you can see primary, then you can switch it to the other more easily. If you only see secondary, it becomes harder. So we see is not that many understand the primary, even here. But then they, even though they have that, they still can't see the primary in the spiritual without the Lord's grace. You know, it's just like somebody who's intelligent doesn't mean he can understand the Lord. But if he does understand the Lord, then he can use that intelligence nicely. But someone without intelligence can understand the Lord, even though, you know, the intelligent one can't. So, but, good? Okay. In this way, the Lord's pastimes, being auspicious to all kinds of people, or bring auspiciousness to all kinds of people. What seems on the surface to be material lust is in truth spiritual love for his devotee. There is no defect in the Lord's actions, right? So it's his love for his devotee that keeps him and Sita together. It's not because she's the goddess of fortune and has all opulence. That doesn't attract his attention. Right? It attracts our attention because opulence means facility for sense gratification. The sense Krishna, it's about relationship and that interaction based on that. That's the understanding. So the advantage is, she being the goddess of fortune, then all facility for her service to the Lord she can generate herself. That's why we follow her. We don't follow ourselves. Okay. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, Lord Ramachandra, whose lotus feet are worshipped by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, had assumed the form of a human being. Thus he performed the funeral ceremony of Jatayu, who was killed by Ravana. The Lord then killed the demon named Kabanda, and after making friends with the monkey chiefs, killing Vali, and arranging for the deliverance of Mother Sita, he went to the beach of the ocean. After reaching the beach, Lord Ramachandra fasted for 3 days, awaiting the arrival of the ocean personified. When the ocean did not come, the Lord exhibited his pastimes of anger, and simply by his glancing over the ocean, all the living entities within it, including the crocodiles and sharks, were agitated by fear. Then the personified ocean fearfully approached Lord Ramachandra, taking all paraphernalia to worship him. Falling at the Lord's lotus feet, the personified ocean spoke as follows. So, in other words, if we're worshiping, you know, something we don't see any results, don't worry about it. Even Krishna on that platform doesn't get, you know. So we shouldn't be worried.
Well, he has leverages. We don't.
That's the whole point. So if we take shelter of him, that's where we'll actually see. Right? Because of him being him, then he saw. Right? Him being us, he didn't see. Right? Because he thought he was just an ordinary person. So us being ordinary persons, it doesn't work. But if we, but the Lord being the Lord, that works. So if we take shelter of the Lord, that's when things work. Falling at the Lord's lotus feet, the personified ocean spoke as follows. O all-pervading Supreme Person, we are dull-minded and did not understand who you are, but now we understand that you are the Supreme Person, the Master of the entire universe, the unchanging and original personality of Godhead. Footnote 21. Srila Prabhupada writes in verse 14, the word jara dhyaha refers to intelligence like that of an animal. A person with such intelligence cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without being beaten, an animal cannot understand the purpose of a man. Similarly, those who are dull-minded cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when punished severely by the modes of material nature, they begin to understand him. So that's the whole thing. We don't understand when the material modes don't go the way we would like, then we start, you know, getting an understanding. So that's why Krishna arranges that. Because if simply by hearing about Krishna consciousness we surrender fully, then what's the need of any problems? But generally we hear, that sounds great, and then we fall back into other things, then we get some, how you say, inspiration. The demigods are infatuated with the mode of goodness, the Prajapatis with the mode of passion, and the Lord of Ghosts with the mode of ignorance. But you are the master of all these qualities. My Lord, you may use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ravana, who is the great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. He is the son of Vishrava, but is condemned like urine. Please go kill him, and thus regain your wife, Sita Devi. O great hero, although my water presents no impediment to your going to Lanka, please construct a bridge over it to spread your transcendental fame. Because if they had just, you know, got on boats and paddled over there, you know, some are in inner tubes, you know, some are in, you know, whatever, like this, you know, then it wouldn't have been, you know, that fabulous. But they build a bridge on the ocean. Now that people are, they've been talking about it for the last, you know, so many millions of years, right? Upon seeing this wonderfully uncommon deed of your lordship, all the great heroes and kings in the future will glorify you. After constructing a bridge over the ocean by throwing into the water the peaks of mountains, whose trees and other vegetation had been shaken by the hands of great monkeys, Lord Ramachandra went to Lanka to release Sita from the clutches of Ravana. Otherwise, yeah, they just throw the mountaintop as it is and it's all forest and trees and jungle, then how tough it would be to get across, you know. So they already, you know, shook it off and then just put the stone in. You know, Lord Ramachandra went to Lanka to release Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravana. With the direction and help of Vibhishana, Ravana's brother, the Lord, along with the monkey soldiers headed by Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom. Nila and Nala, they were brothers, I think they were twins, very expert at engineering, like that. So they're the ones that engineered the bridge, like that. You know, so that was their...
It's not that they threw rocks.
Still, you had to know how to throw the rocks. You can't just toss them in. You have to write Ram's name on
together,
it.
Otherwise, the spaces between.
Yeah, yeah. You have to put the spaces so you can walk. Because you have to march. You can't just kind of stick them anyway. You know?
It's like packing a car.
Yes.
You got all the stuff. A good person can actually get it all in, and someone that can't, there's like six bags left over.
Yeah, yeah. I always remember that. I think it was Hari Kesh Maharaj. They would take all the stuff out, and it's time to go. He comes out to the car, and the servants are still sitting there looking at the trunk, you know. And, you know, there's some bags that don't fit in. And you come over, look at them, and then without any saying anything, take everything out, put it all back in so everything fit, and then close it. He was always very expert at packing a trunk. So like that. Okay. Okay, so they entered Ravana's kingdom, Lanka, which had previously been burnt by Hanuman. Srila Prabhupada comments. Great mountain peaks covered with trees and plants were thrown into the sea by the monkey soldiers and began to float by the supreme will of the Lord. By the supreme will of the Lord, many great planets float weightlessly in space like swabs of cotton. If this is possible, why should a great mountain peak not be able to float on water? Right, because that's even more dense than air, right? Consequently, for Lord Ramachandra to construct a bridge over the Indian Ocean is not at all wonderful. It is wonderful only in the sense that it has kept the name and fame of Lord Ramachandra eternally celebrated. That's the specialness. Sukadeva Goswami continued. After entering Lanka, the monkey soldiers, led by chiefs like Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, occupied all the sporting houses, granaries, treasuries, palace doorways, city gates, assembly houses, palace frontages, and even the resting houses of the pigeons. means they took over everything. When the city's crossroads, platforms, flags, and golden water pots on its domes were all destroyed, the entire city of Lanka appeared like a river disturbed by a herd of elephants. When Ravana, I guess because if you occupy the pigeon's place, then the pigeons go sit on the palaces. You know? Now that'll be annoying. When Ravana, the master of the Rakshasas, saw the disturbances created by the monkey soldiers, he called for Nikumbha, Kumbha, Dumraksha, Durmukha, Surantaka, Narantaka, and other Rakshasas, and also his son Indrajit. Thereafter, he called for Prahasta, Atikaya, Vikampana, and finally Kumbhakarna. Then he induced all his followers to fight against the enemies. Lord Ramachandra, surrounded by Lakshman and monkey soldiers like Sugriva, Hanuman, Gandhamada, Nila, Anga, Jambavan, and Panasa, attacked the soldiers of the Rakshasas, who were fully equipped with various invincible weapons like swords, lances, bows, prasas, Rishtis, Shakti arrows, Gadas, and Tomaras. Anga and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses, and chariots of the enemy, and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs, and arrows. Thus the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers, who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. Stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.